ring leading, so that put me on the line. So I protest the massacres at the Tiananmen Square. My friends say, yo, stay away, man. You better not go fucking back there. Oh! Watch this. Would not let me write about my opinions about the state and the freedom of expression. They would never tolerate.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes. Hello. Hello. Welcome. Welcome. One and all. That was just a Camaro backfiring. But welcome. Welcome. One and all. It is, well, I guess it's technically 1901 UTC at this point. I was fiddling with my phone, but we were connected at 1900 UTC, and that's what time the show starts. Surprise, surprise. It is Thursday, August the 3rd, 2023, and it is a bright, clear, sunny day. Really surprisingly surprised how clear it is. I think we must have maybe had a little bit of rain overnight or something. Just a few small clouds, but they're cumulus clouds. They're not this far up high cirrus clouds, so that's cool. From where I'm at, the thing that's new today is, since it's so clear, I can see there's a water storage container building that usually is pretty fuzzy, and it's bright as clear as day. And then northwest of me. I can see two giant American flags. Normally I can only see one, so it looks like, I think it might just be that the other one is angled so that it catches that south or north breeze, and so I don't see the flag because it's in line with my view. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just excited because I'm here, we're on time, we got lots of news to talk about, and after this, I go to my desk, lock up for the day, and go to a cookie tasting contest. Oh boy. Cookie being that there 10 people have baked their own special cookie recipe, and like 50 of us are going down there, and we're all going to get a little sample, like a fourth or an eighth of a cookie out of all 10 of these cookies to try out. So it should be a good way to end the day, and then it'll be beer day. It's Thursday, which is my beer day, so then it'll be time to go get beers. So looking forward to it. One of my friends has been on holiday 6 weeks in Alaska doing all sorts of cool stuff with his brother, archaeology and fishing and stuff. So if you want to hang out and talk during the show, you can always go to Jabber by going to anonradio@conference.jabber.sdf.org, or you can just go to com, SSH over to tty.sdf.org or sdf.org if you want. And then from there, launch com. Just type COM, press enter, then type G for go to, and then anonradio, all lowercase, all one word, and you will be hanging out with all the cool people. Of course, you can also edit a com RC file. And if you do that, then all you got to do is do like me and just type COM, press enter, and boom, you are in anonradio room, hanging out with Stug and Ratsu and Handy C. Stug Wyliff is here. Zep is here. Welcome. Hey, Zep. Another day with another Zep. That's a good time. Bite Me 8827. Cass is here. Wow, lots of people hanging out. Bite Me had to reboot because they installed a new kernel. Hey, that's always fun. Hey, I remember whenever I... And F-Fog's here. Hello, welcome, welcome. I remember one of the things I used to hate and like was, I really liked reinstalling and going through, like, setting up my computer. And I used to use FreeBSD a lot because when I was growing up and getting into computers, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have internet access. The best we had was dial-up. So I bought a FreeBSD book at the bookstore, and it had four CDs, and those four CDs had FreeBSD on them, and that was what I would use. And I had to build world, because sound support wasn't built into the kernel at the time, and so you had to recompile a custom kernel every time you reinstalled it. I got pretty good at building world after a while, but anyway, BSD, lots of fun. If you've only messed with Linuxes, give it a shot. It's great. You can run a bunch of your GNU utilities too. Hey, X1's here. Almost not late. Welcome, welcome. If I had not been on time, you would have been on time. All right. So let's get into it. There's a bunch of news, like I said. Something I don't know yet. I participated in a study, a research study, and part of the research study is they scanned my ears, and one of the person doing the scanning said, "I'm not a doctor, but you might want to see a doctor." And so now I'm kind of a little nervous about that. I'm not sure what that means, but I will be scheduling a doctor's appointment as soon as I can. So just as a heads up, in case I'm suddenly not on the air one day, it's probably because I was able to squeeze in a doctor's appointment at 1900, and so I just ran over there as quick as I could. All right, so let's get into it. Desktop bookmarks, bookmark menu. News to me, August the 3rd, that is today. All right, first, one hurt and at least 12 injured in a stabbing attack, or a knife spree, whatever you want to call it. At least one person was killed and 12 others injured in what local news outlets are reporting as a mass stabbing at a mall near a subway station in an affluent suburb south of Seoul in South Korea. The incident happened at around 6 p.m. on Thursday at AK Plaza, that's Alpha Kilo Plaza, near Seo-hyeon Station in Bundang Ward, Seongnam, according to initial accounts by Yonhap News. Emergency responders received a call saying a man is stabbing people. Jung Ang Daily reported that reported that one suspect has been arrested. Media reports described him as a man in his 20s with a delivery job and suffering from mental health issues. Accounts on social media also mentioned a car crashing into a pavement and a man jumping out to rush towards the mall. Yonhap said four people were injured as the car plowed through a pedestrian walkway, while nine were stabbed at the mall. Witnesses at the scene said the assailant, wearing black clothing and sunglasses, had a knife that was around 50 to 60 centimeters long. That's like 2 feet long, I think, right? It's 30, I think 30 centimeters is a foot. So 2 feet long is pretty big. If anybody in comm can confirm, that'd be great. At first, I thought it was a hide-and-seek game by some of the scouts from a World Jamboree event, but when I entered the mall, there was blood, said a Twitter account cited by Jung Ang Daily. Another Twitter user said it was really, really crazy. It's a place where a lot of people go, not just students. Motive for the attack remains unclear, but it's being treated serious. Thursday's attack comes just 2 weeks after one person was killed and three more wounded when a man went on a stabbing rampage near Sillam subway station in Seoul. South Korea is typically an extremely safe country with a murder rate of just 1.3 per 100,000 people in 2021. By comparison, the U.S. has 7.8 homicide deaths per 100,000 people. So, there you go. Let's check in with comm, see if anybody has an important state. Kernel config instead of decorating your desktop. Yep. FFOG. Yep, that's a human ear. A doctor is a diploma here. You have doctors in every kind of science. As a nurse is not a doctor. Good point, X1. I should go see a medical doctor. The person doing the study is a PhD, but not a medical doctor. So, we'll see. Makes me kind of like, I wonder. It seemed like there was possibly a protuberance in my ear canal. Hope not. It doesn't bother me, but who knows? Who knows? Hey, Claudia M's in the house. And the Z-Man. Hello. Welcome. Welcome. Yeah. All right. So we keep on a rolling. So we had a knife stabbing story. How else are people dying? Well, you know, senselessly. That's how people are dying, especially in the United States. Well, I guess technically Mexico, because we've put floating buoys in the river. Mexico recovers two bodies from the Rio Grande, including one near floating barrier installed by Texas. Mexican authorities are trying to identify two bodies found in the Rio Grande, including one along the floating barrier that Texas Governor Greg Abbott had installed recently in the river. Mexico's Foreign Relations Department first reported that a body was found along the buoys between Eagle Pass and Piedras Negras on Wednesday evening and immediately connected it to the risks Mexico had warned of before the barrier was installed. Hours later, it said another body was found 3 miles or 5 kilometers upstream in an area where there are no buoys. Buoys. B-U-O-Y-S. And in Texas, what we've got is they're a big orange ball about a meter wide that are anchored to the ground with a thick tether. And there's a mesh between each of those big buoys so that you can't swim under or around them. There's concern that wildlife may get tangled up in them. If you're a person and you try and swim under there, you probably will get tangled up in there. The buoys are not meant as a life-saving feature, after all. Anyway, Mexico said the Texas Department of Public Safety had advised its consulate of the body along the floating barrier. Texas said it notified Mexico after receiving report of a body upriver from the barrier Wednesday. So, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol was asked by an email and phone call for comment on the situation, but did not respond to the AP, which is where we're reading this news story from. Now, don't worry. People die senseless deaths all the time. So, here's some more senseless death and destruction for you. A pregnant woman was shot dead after an argument over playing with lasers. It is 2023. We are in a weird timeline. That's right. An Ohio man accused of gunning down a pregnant woman in her front yard after they got in an argument over a laser pointer has been indicted on murder charges and is being held on a $1 million bond. It's kind of a surprise. It's very funny when racism and the fanatical anti-abortion people kind of clash. An Ohio man accused of gunning down a pregnant woman in her front yard after they got in an argument over a laser pointer has been indicted on murder charges. Tyrone Hunter, 26, was indicted this week on 2 counts of murder and several other felony counts in the death of 26-year-old Isis Lachey Roseman, according to Hamilton County Prosecutor Melissa Powers. On July 6, Roseman and her little brother were playing with a laser pointer in the front yard of their home in the Winton Hills neighborhood. Mr. Hunter approached them and they got in a verbal altercation. Mr. Hunter threatened to shoot up the house before getting in his car and driving off. He returned a short time later and allegedly opened fire, sending Roseman and her brother running inside. She was struck at least once as a second round of shots were fired when they entered the home. Roseman was 16 and 16 years... Oh, Roseman, who was 16 to 17 weeks pregnant, prosecutors said, was transported to University of Cincinnati Medical Center, where she died. In her obituary, she was described as a beautiful person, internally and externally, whose smile and laugh would brighten up any room she entered. Isis was intelligent and a force to be reckoned with. Let's see. Mr. Hunter surrendered to police on July 24th and is being held on a $1 million bond. If convicted on all charges, Mr. Hunter faces a maximum possible sentence of life in prison with parole after 24 years. Bam. I'ma fire my laser beam. Hey, welcome back, Zip. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. Wild and crazy. I don't know. Crazy is one of those words I'm trying not to use to mean something that's out of the ordinary or extreme, but it fits a lot of the time, at least in my head. Tobe is reminded of Laser Wolf. That's a good one. That reminds me, it's 1913 UTC, and I want to be sure you know that at 1930 UTC, every goddamn day, right here on Anon Radio, is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's a fun show. We go deal with synthesizers or marmots. Depends on the weather. A lot of nature loves Tobe. A lot of nature hates Tobe. So if the sun is being a bad, is being an enemy, or the wind is being an enemy, might not go out. Especially heat. Heat has been really bad lately. But anyway, no matter what, tune in at 1930 UTC. You might hear some synthesizers. You might hear about baby ball joint baby dolls. You might hear about, you could hear about anything. You may even hear about football and how the Germany in the Women's World Cup fell out today. Pretty wild stuff. Every goddamn day. .exe. Things that start with M. All right. So let's get back into it. There's a lot of death. I'll try and speed it up.
Two people are dead in a fiery plane crash at Van Nuys Airport in L.A. Two people are dead after a small plane crashed at the airport on Wednesday morning. Witnesses described the craft as a CSA sport cruiser, or Charlie Sierra Alpha sport cruiser, heading nose down toward the runway. They did a very high impact. What was described as nose first into the ground. Los Angeles Fire Department Captain Eric Scott told ABC 7. Tragically, that likely quickly caused the death of both of the occupants. It's so funny because it's like, yeah, you think? The airplane flew straight down into the tarmac. The fire official said it was the third crash this year at the airport and the first fatal one. There hasn't been a deadly crash at Van Nuys in the last two decades, he said. Something I saw online and social media was saying that a lot of people who have had COVID, maybe even asymptomatic COVID, have had like a brain fog or some kind of mental impact, and it can impair the part of your brain that's needed when you're driving or flying an airplane or other. Jail and caning for a man who slapped and sexually abused a 12-year-old stepdaughter. I'm assuming his stepdaughter. A man who slapped his 12-year-old stepdaughter after she came home late on April 26, 2022, went on to sexually abuse her later that day. The girl has since been removed from her family and is now living in a home. Assume this means a home other than the one she was in. Her 32-year-old stepfather pleaded guilty to sexually penetrating the child and was sentenced to 10 years jail on Thursday. Two other charges, including one count of assault, were considered during sentencing. The man, who can't be named due to a gag order to protect the girl's identity, was also ordered to receive 12 strokes of the cane. Anyway. He's going to get at least 12 strokes of the cane. Deputy Public Prosecutor Zhou Yang said that the offender lived in a flat with his wife, the victim, and her six siblings, as well as the victim's grandparents and uncle. And they added the accused admitted that he treated the victim like his own daughter. The victim's mother likewise observed that the accused and the victim shared a relationship akin to that of a father and daughter. The victim would confide to either her or the accused when she faced problems. On April 26, 2022, the girl had gone to play CPAC Takraw with her friends after school at around 4 p.m. She was on her way home about 2 hours later when she met her stepfather at the ground floor of their block of flats. Unhappy she came home late, he slapped her cheek and pulled her hair. Then the pair then entered a lift. Instead of pressing the button for the 7th floor, he pressed the button for the 15th floor, which is the highest floor of the block. And he confronted her about a chat she'd had with somebody on Instagram meeting up for sex. He then told her he wanted to conduct a check. Okay, this is just more graphic than we need to be. All right, yeah. So then she came forward after that event. So, she, the stepfather,
what was it? Like a purity check kind of thing. Anyway, it was way too graphic. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But anyway, he's going to get beat with the cane at least 12 times and spend a decade in jail. So we can take solace in that. In North Korea, North Korea has confirmed that they've got Travis King. That was this soldier who took a tour of the DMZ and then ran across it. So that's just for you. Sebastian Marcet is a fugitive from the law, and he sent a video thanking police for the tip-off. An alleged drug trafficker who's the target of an international manhunt has sent a video to the media in which he thanks Bolivian police for allegedly giving him prior warning of an attempt to arrest him. On Saturday, Bolivian officers raided the home of Sebastian Marcet, who is wanted in his native Uruguay, as well as in Brazil, Paraguay, and the U.S. But Mr. Marcet, 32, managed to get away. Bolivian police have denied tipping him off and continue to search. More than 2,250 police officers have been deployed to track him down, but he has so far given them the slip. So, if we find out more, I'll let you know, but I just thought it was great that he was, like, posted a video saying, "Hey guys, thanks for the tip." Morocco had some good news and some bad news. Morocco beat Colombia as both teams reached last 16 at the Women's World Cup. Debutante Morocco stunned Colombia 1-0 in their final group match in Perth on Thursday to reach the last of the 16 of the Women's World Cup at their first attempt along with their opponents. The 72nd-ranked Moroccans scored through through Anne Anissa Lamari's toe poke after a saved penalty at the end of the first half, but their passage was only secured after South Korea held twice Japanese Germany to a 1-1 draw in the other Group H match. Colombia topped the group with 6 points, beating runners-up Morocco on goal difference, while Germany and South Korea depart the tournament. So, Morocco was thumped 6-0 by Germany in their opener before beating South Korea 1-0. Move on to meet France in Adelaide, and Colombia played Jamaica in Melbourne on Tuesday. So, this will be very exciting. I found out this morning that the Women's World Cup is preempting my local news that I like to watch in the morning. I've been waking up too late. I've been waking up just in time to wake up and run to work. So I haven't been turning the TV on, and I would have watched the sport if I had known it was on. Anyway, a Moroccan man has been jailed for 5 years, not for winning the World Cup, that's for sure, for criticizing the king in Facebook posts. Moroccan courts have sentenced an internet user to 5 years in prison for offending the monarchy after he criticized diplomatic normalization with Israel on Facebook. Oh, man. I would not do well there. I have strong opinions about Israel and lots of things. I feel like I'm glad. I guess that's one thing, I guess. I'm glad I'm here. Let's see. This is scary as hell. A man's accused of holding a woman in a cinder block cell in Salem, Oregon. I was just in Portland, Oregon, which is why I'm like, oh, wow, in Salem, Oregon. A man who is accused of kidnapping a woman and holding her in a cinder block cell that she escaped by punching her way out had been on law enforcement's radar and is now suspected in other sexual assaults. The woman was kidnapped from Seattle, chained, and driven to a home in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Nagasi Zuberi, 29, is now behind bars in Nevada, waiting to be extradited, where he's charged in federal court with interstate kidnapping and transporting an individual across state lines with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity. A search of his rental home and garage turned up the woman's purse and handwritten notes. One was labeled Operation Takeover and included entries that read, "Leave phone at home and make sure they don't have a bunch of people in their life. You don't want any type of investigation." Another handwritten document appeared to include a rough sketch for an underground structure using concrete blocks, foam insulation, and waterproof concrete. The agency suspects him in assaults in at least 4 more states that did not name, and said it set up a website asking anyone who believes they may have been a victim to come forward. So the landlord said in a text message that he didn't pay the rent for 6 months and illegally sublet the home, bred puppies, damaged the property, and threatened neighbors. I always am surprised. Every time I've rented a house or rented anything, it has been such a big pain in the ass. And then it's like some people, they rent a house and they're like, oh, they don't pay rent for months or years. They do all sorts of crazy stuff and they're still living there. I don't know. It's wild. Let's see what's going on in Spicy. Rooster Radio. Just the tip
Oh, man. Toe poke. Zepp booing Germany. let's see. Claudio M saw the news a little earlier. Tobe loves Les Majestés. Or Laissez Majesté. Is this like... It sounds like French. Punching her way out of a cinder block cell. That's commitment. Hell yeah, Jay LaMoth. Yeah.
Kill Bill 3. So she apparently... The stories I read on this... There was a door, and she punched through the door. So he must have used, like, an inside door. Or maybe he used an outside door. But she punched through the door and bloodied up her hands doing it. But she broke through the door and then was able to escape and find help. But the pictures and video of the cell, it was not very big. It was about the size of a parking space. Since I'm on the garage, that's kind of an easy reference. But yeah, it was about the size of a parking space. So, I don't know. Like 3 meters by 2 meters. Anyway, pretty awful. Very awful. We've got about 4 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee. So let's talk about some cool stuff. Or at least... we won't talk about death penalty stuff. That's too heavy. Let's talk about dark matter. That's not heavy. Or we don't know. We don't know how much it weighs. Europe's new space telescope, Euclid, has returned its first images. Engineers switched on the camera of the 1.4 billion euro observatory to begin a phase of testing and captured a wide vista of stars and galaxies. Once properly set up, Euclid will start building a 3D map of the cosmos in an effort to tie down the nature of so-called dark matter and dark energy. Together, these phenomena appear to control the shape and expansion of everything we see out there. Quite what they are, however, is highly uncertain. Neither dark matter nor dark energy are directly detectable, which means Euclid will have to use roundabout methods to glimpse their properties. It's dispatched to an observing position about 1.5 million kilometers from Earth on its night side, a popular location for space observatories. Because it sits in a gravitational sweet spot, it means less fuel is needed to keep a craft on station. The place is known as the second Lagrange point, and it also doesn't suffer from the swings in light and temperature experienced by telescopes orbiting close to Earth. The new super space telescope James Webb is another inhabitant of this parking spot. The test images released by European Space Agency on Monday come from both of Euclid's cameras. There's visible light and infrared. So those are the two that we'll see. So it'll be cool because James Webb is like an infrared thing. And so it'll be nice to have like... This is what you would see if you were just looking at it with your eyes out here a million miles from Earth. Oh, golly. We've only got 3 minutes, which means we only have time for one story. So let's talk about it. I can't pick. Bud Light sales have plunged following a boycott. Hyundai and Kia are recalling nearly 92,000 vehicles. And Niger's coup is bringing France complicated relationship with its former colonized countries around full circle. So these are all stories that are pretty interesting and a bit deeper than we can get into. So here's a thing for you. Don't check the clock. I hope that wasn't too loud. I got excited. The headline has an exclamation point. Time moves differently in the middle of the night. Hours can drag one moment, then race by the next, catapulting you between chronic boredom and violent panic that morning is clawing at the curtains. Yet though it may not feel like it in the moment, it is entirely normal to wake up. The natural human sleep pattern is not a consolidated 8 hours, according to Russell Foster, who's from Oxford University. The new science of the body clock and how it can revolutionize your sleep and health. Still, it's not pleasant to lie awake in the early hours wondering about everything from climate catastrophe to whether that was an inappropriate joke or whether you'll ever sleep again. It's easy to catastrophize in the middle of the night, says a consultant. I'm going to be... give me the meat. We tend to wake up more as we age, says Foster, because the robustness of the circadian drive for sleep reduces. We're probably not going to get the sleep we got when we were younger. Hormones underpinning urine production also change, which is one reason why we often need to get up to go to the loo at night. Menopause affects the sleep too. Anyway, I was hoping it would tell us how to not wake up in the middle of the night, but no such luck.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday.